Today's shiur in Masechta Sanhedrin daf Kuf Yud Gimel, as we are zoicha be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach to Messiah Masechta Sanhedrin, says the Gemara Tanan Hosom, we start 12 lines from the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis and Beis. Tanan Hosom, the Braisa says in Masechta Pesachim, Isa Shlemaisa Sheni, if somebody has a dough made out of Maisa Sheni flour, Ptura Menachala, there's no Chiv Hafroshes Chala. Divrei Rameya, that's the opinion of Rameya. And the opinion of Chamim is that it is Chayiv Bechala. To which comments of Chizda, Machloikus, when was this Machloikus taught? Maisa Sheni B'Yerushalayim. Since in Yerushalayim, Maisa Sheni can be eaten, that's what the Halacha Maisa Sheni actually is, that Maisa Sheni should be eaten in Yerushalayim. So Rameya Sover, Ramey's opinion is the Maisa Sheni that's in Yerushalayim is Mam Gvayhu, really belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us permission to eat it, and therefore it's part of Chala. Rabban Tzavri, and Rabban's opinion is the Mam and Hedyuthu, that it's not considered Kodesh, and the reason why it's not considered Kodesh is quite easy. Because it may be eaten by everyone. Avav Gvulin, outside of Yerushalayim, where it may not be eaten unless it's redeemed with the halacha of redemption, or it has to be taken up to Yerushalayim. The Rehakol, everybody will agree that it's potter from chala. The Yad Ramah, because it can't be eaten, and therefore it's not considered a risoy seichem. And where is the Torah? And the Torah, when it teaches us the chiv chala, says that there's only chiv chala on our risoy seichem. It's interesting to point out that the Yad Ramah has a girsa that says actually just the opposite. That since it's not in Yerushalayim, when it's not in Yerushalayim, everybody will agree that it's considered mom and hedget and is chayiv meiser. Master of Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef asks in a question based on our Mishnah. We learned that our Mishnah, Maisa Sheni v'Kisvei Kodesh, the Maisa Sheni and Kisvei Kodesh that are found in Ir HaNidachas, the loch is Yignazu, they should be buried in the ground. And the question is, B'mayiskinen, what type of Maisa Sheni is our Mishnah discussing? Ilema, if it's speaking about that it was found in Yerushalayim, so ask the Gemara, that can't possibly be the case that our Mishnah is talking about. Because says the Gemara, mi havi ir nidachas. Can Yerushalayim ever become ir nidachas? For Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, asar dvaram never Yerushalayim, the 10 special halachas that were taught to us about Yerushalayim, v'zu achsmem, and one of them is, that ein nasas ir nidachas, that Yerushalayim can never become Eir Nidachas. And the reason is, explains the Yad Ramah, because when the Torah speaks about Eir Nidachas, the Torah says, Ba'achas Arecho. In Yerushalayim is one of the cities that was divided amongst all the other cities in Eretz Yisrael. But Yerushalayim, Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, since Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim, Yerushalayim cannot become an Nidachas. So that can't possibly be what the Mishnah is speaking about. Elo, it must be speaking about a case where it was Maisa Sheni B'ir Acheres and Ve'afgul Gavo, and it was brought to Yerushalayim, and now the city from which this Maisa Sheni was brought became an Nidachas, because it's considered part of the financial assets of that city, and that's why our Mishnah says that it requires Geniza. But ask the Gemara, how could we possibly explain that that's what the Braisa means? Once it was brought to Yerushalayim, asked the Gemara, HaKotur Mechitzis, it became, once it enters Yerushalayim, it becomes Yerushalayim, and it may never be taken out of Yerushalayim. So the question is, why would we have to do Geniza in it? Elalav, how must we explain the Mishnah? The Mishnah is speaking about Begvulim, that we're talking about Maisa Sheni outside Yerushalayim, and that city, became an Ir HaNidachas. And what does our Mishnah teach us? The Mishnah says yignazu, that it should be, that it's osur b'achila, because it's from Ianadachas. So we see from here, not like what Rav Chisda said, because Rav Chisda said that everybody agreed that Maisa Sheni, that's not in Yerushalayim, is Mamon Gavoya. If it's Mamon Gavoya, so then it's in the category of Shlal Shemayim, which we discussed in our previous year, doesn't have the halachas of Ein Nedachas that must be burnt. It must be that it's considered Mamon Hedyot, and that requires the Geniza and not Sreifa. The reason it requires Geniza and not Sreifa is because since it is still Maisa Sheni, so we took it down a notch and we don't burn it, we just do Geniza, says Merloi. That's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Loilam Dirachairis. It's Maisa Sheni that came from another city that was brought to Yerushalayim. The school of Gavop, and it was brought to Yerushalayim. We said that once it's brought to Yerushalayim, don't we have the concept of Kaltur Mechitzis, and it's part of Yerushalayim, and it should therefore part of Yerushalayim produce, and it should not be subject to burning. The Mishnah speaking about a case Shenitma, that the Maisa Sheni got Tamei, and since the Maisa Sheni got Tamei, it may not be eaten, and therefore the Mishnah is saying that such Maisa Sheni should be required Geniza. But ask the Gemara, even if it got Tamei, isn't the halacha that we should redeem it? The halacha is we can redeem Maisa Sheni that becomes Tamei and buy with it food that's tar. So, since that's an option, Rabbi Lazar taught us that Maisa Sheni became Tamei even in Yerushalayim, which means to say that normally, once produce is brought to Yerushalayim, there's no longer an option to be poided. But even though the halacha is that once it's brought to Yerushalayim, there's no more an option to be poided, that's only when it can be eaten in Yerushalayim. So when it can be eaten in Yerushalayim, we shouldn't be poided. But here, since it got tamei, and therefore it can't be eaten in Yerushalayim, it can be poided. Tamaloima. Speaking about what Yosef gave portions of food to his brothers. But what do you see from here? That if you can't eat the Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim, so normally the situation where you can't eat the Maisa Sheni Yerushalayim is a situation where it's the food, the Maisa Sheni is not in Yerushalayim, and it's a schlep to take it to you, and it's a schlep to take it to Yerushalayim. But here, it is in Yerushalayim, but it can't be eaten in Yerushalayim. So it could be nifta, it could be redeemed. So why is the halacha that you can't, that it's gniza? Why don't we just put it? Achav my skin and answered the Gemara. This Mishnah is speaking about a case that you had Maisa Sheni funds. You brought those Maisa Sheni funds to Yerushalayim, and after you brought them to Yerushalayim, you bought produce, and then after you brought the produce, that bought produce became tamei, food became tamei. That can't be nifta, because explains Rashi, the halacha that food, the Maisa Sheni that became tamei in Yerushalayim, you could be poida, is only when it's original Maisa Sheni food. But food that was bought with Maisa Sheni funds doesn't have the halacha. But ask the Gemara why. For Lifriki, the halacha should be that we could still do redemption pedia. The Tanan, ham we learn in Maisa Sheni, el kuch Maisa Sheni shenifta yipada, that even something that was bought with Maisa Sheni funds and then it became tamei, the halacha is you could be poided. So how does this teretz work? Answers the Gemara, our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yehuda. Dumber, that he says that food that was bought with Maisa Sheni funds, and then that food become tamei, there is no halacha of yipada, but rather the halacha is that you cover, it has to be burnt. And the reason Rashi explains is because since it has a lower level of kedusha, because it's not original Maisa Sheni food, it's only food that was bought with Maisa Sheni funds, and therefore the option of pidyon doesn't apply. There's another way that the Rishonim learn, because the Pasuk says regarding Ma'aseh Sheni, V'tzarta Kasa B'yotcha, only Kasa Rishon V'loi Kasa Sheni. Again, he's learning it based on the Pasuk that only what was originally Ma'aseh Sheni has that option, nothing else. Says the Gemara, if our Mishnah, asked the Gemara, Ihachi, if we're going to say that our Mishnah speaking about that we bought produce with Ma'aseh Sheni funds, and then that produce become Tamei, and therefore the only option is Yigonez, so my area, says the Gemara, then it has nothing to do with Irene Dachas. I feel it would be Al-Manami, any such situation, the Locha would be Geniza. Elal Olam, so that can't be Peshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara looks for a different reason. Ella, the way we're going to have to explain the Mishnah, it's talking about Tahor, that we brought Ma'aseh Sheni produce to Yerushalayim. What happened is, then it was brought to Yerushalayim, and then the city from which this produce was brought became in the Dachas. Kagoyin the Nafal Mechitzas. And we're speaking about a case where the walls of Yerushalayim came down. And when the walls of Yerushalayim come down, we've been learning throughout our shir the concept of Kultur Mechitzas. But we don't say Kultur Mechitzas when the walls of Yerushalayim come down. Because the Rava, as Rava taught us, Amar Rava, Mechitza Lechol B'deraisa. Midaraisa were only allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Liklait, the din, that anything, any Ma'aseh Sheni that was brought in the walls of Yerushalayim receive Kedusha, even if there are no, they receive Kedusha, and we may not take it out, is a din de Rabbanan. V'chi gaz Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan say this halacha, ki asin l'mechitza, as long as the walls of Yerushalayim are up? However, when the walls of Yerushalayim, as we just described, are not standing, there is no din of kultur mechutzas. And what does that mean? That you're allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. And if it's from an ear in the dachas, so yes, when there's walls, we've been saying kultur mechutzas. But since there are no walls, we don't have the concept of kultur mechutzas. And that's why our Mishnah says that then the halacha would be that we should do genizah. We learned further, Kisvei Kodesh Yignoizu. Any Kisvei Kodesh should be buried. Says the Gemara, Mishnas Nisan, our Mishnah is saying that the Kisvei Kodesh of Eira Negachas are Yignoizu. Yeah, that's the Loi Krib Elazar. It's not consistent with the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. The Tanya, the Gemara teaches us, the Tanya Rebbe Elazar, I'm a call Eir Sheyesh by Filo Mezuzah Achas. Any city that has even just one mezuzah, ain't a nasis here in the dachas, won't become here in the dachas. Shenemar, because the Torah says regarding there in the dachas, v'srafta be'esha se'ir v'skol shlola kolu, everything from that city should be entirely burned. V'echadenke mezuzah, but if there's a mezuzah there, that isn't doable, like efshir. It's not possible, because the Torah says by psila elehayim tegadein v'avadata meshmam anamakmahu, avoid the Zara should be eliminated. We're not allowed to burn anything that has Hashem's name on it. And therefore, so our Mishnah says that the Kisvei Kodesh, what do we do with the Kisvei Kodesh? Obviously, cannot follow the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, who says that there, if there were Kisvei Kodesh there, it can't become Eir Hanidachas. It's Rebbe Elazar says, the Torah Chaim asks, why did Tanava Mishnah and Rebbe Elazar both assume that we don't burn a Sefer Torah Mezuzah, which is found on Eirin Edachas? The question that he asks is that we always have a rule of Eseh Doicha Lo'Eseh Seh. So we should say that the mitzvahs asay of a Srafta Be'esh, that we have to burn everything from the Eirin Edachas, should take precedence over the lav of Leisasa Kein Hashem Elokeichem. Answers the Minchas Chinuch, quoting a Rambam that's saying that doing this to Hashem Hashem, that just as mentioning Hashem Hashem is in vain, is considered a violation in the midst of Yerushimayim, so too destroying anything what has Hashem's name is a violation of the Liras Hashem HaNichbad. So now, if we're going to destroy a mezuzah that Hashem's name is in it, not only will it be a violation of the mitzvah Leisasei of Leisasa Shelekaim Elekechop, but it'll also be a violation of mitzvah Sasei of Liras Hashem. And therefore he explains that even though there's a rule of Esei Doicha Leisasei, but ain't Esei Doicha Leisasei Vasei. And therefore everybody will agree it can't be burnt. The only question is, what is done with it? Shimon Aimer says, the Mishnah Shimon says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu V'hoisetel El Olam. The Pasuk says regarding the Ir Nidachas that we can't, according to Rabbi Yosef, we can't make gardens of it. Rabbi Gamliel says that it can't be rebuilt to the way it was. But gardens and padesim, yards, gardens, is permitted. Says the Gemara, Lema Rav Avin Amarav Kamifli. Suggests the Gemara that the Machlokes of Rabbi Yosef Aglier of Akiva is based on what Rav Avin Amar Beloy said. The Rav Avin Amar Beloy, Kamakum Shatamaitza Klal, essay. When the Torah says a mitzvah essay, and then the Torah says a prat formed in a fashion, in a wording of Lais essay, ain't done in a Klal plat. As we know from the Shlosha Esra Midrash Torah in the Drashas Behen, that there's a Klal prat. And the halacha is that ein beklal ein el mashab prat. The detail comes to change what the klal says, and even though the klal is very general, the prat limits how to understand the klal. And therefore, says Reb Oven, that's when even said when the klal and prat are said with a mitzvah sasei or by a lois sasei. But if the klal is a mitzvah sasei, and the both a mitzvah sasei or both a mitzvah lois sasei. But in a situation where the klal is a mitzvah sasei and the prat is a lois sasei, the example is our Gemara, because first the Gemara pasuk says regarding the irnei dachas the mitzvah sasei v'hoisa tel oilam. That means tel oilam. It means it should be forever barren. But afterwards the Torah says lois sibona oid, that you can't build homes in it, but it doesn't include everything else. We don't say klal prat ein beklal el ma befrat, but rather we learn this as two separate halachas. V'hoisa tel olam teaches us that we're not allowed to do anything with the city, and that if somebody even makes ginus or pradesim, he's over mitzvah sasei. The prat of lisabona oid says that besides that you're not allowed to do anything with the city, if you make homes in the city, you're going to be over the lois say of lois sibana oid. The Mar and the Gemara are suggesting Rabbi Yosef Glili holds like Rabbi Ovin, and therefore you can't even make, as we just explained, ginen or pradesim. Or Mar Rabbi Kiva disagrees with what Rabbi Ovin said, and he says that this too is a situation of a klal prat. And since it's a situation of klal prat, then the halacha is ein bechlal el mashab efrat, and you're not allowed to build homes, but you're allowed to build ginus apadisim. Says the Marloi, that's not the way to understand the Gemara. Rather, the kulam is like Reb Oven, everybody's going to agree with Reb Oven that this should not be interpreted as your typical klal prat. So what is the machlokes of Yosef Gli and the Rabbanan all about? Masover, Reb Yosef Gli holds oit legamri mashma. The pasuk says, "Lo sibani oid." Oid means nothing, even ginus apadisim. Omar sover, whereas Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that the pasuk means to say, "Lekamoisha hoisa in nivnas." You can't rebuild it the way it was originally. Avnasas uginus apadisim, to make it into ginus apadisim, all after. So everybody agrees with the opinion of Rav Ovin, that this is not to be understood as a klal prat, but rather the machloek says how to explain the wordings of the wording of the Torah. Tana Baran continues the one the Brisa teaches us. Hoyabov, if in the Ene Dachas there were Ilonis Tolushim, trees that are not connected to the ground, the halacha is asurim. You're not allowed to have any benefit from it. However, if they were mechuborim, if they were connected to the ground, then the halacha is that mutarim, you can have benefit. She'ir acheres, if they were from another city, bein telushin ubein mechabarim, osur it's osur. My acheres. Asking Gemara what is meant with this halacha, anachizda yirichai. Mishnah is coming to teach us the halacha of yirichai. That by yirichai, the Torah says that Yeshua made it into a cherim. The Torah says by yirichai, v'hoysa yir cherim, hi v'chol shabala Hashem. And there it comes to teach us that any type of, anything that is in yirichai, the halacha is that it should be eliminated. Because what's the difference? Rashi explains. The Torah says, "Be'in edachas tik boitz v'sarafta," anything that could be already collected and burned. But if something's connected to the ground, then the halacha is that it can't be collected and ground. It has to first be cut, and therefore it's not part of ir edachas. But that's not what the Torah says by the ir by yirichai, and therefore there, no matter what, it has to be destroyed. The pasuk says, "By yirichai, v'yishav yishu be'isei lemer or ish lefnei Hashem." Ashiyokum ubonas irazois, asiricha bibchoira yifadeno vitsir yats of deloisoi. That after Klai Yisrael captured the city of Yericho, Yeshua made a shvua that it may not be rebuilt, and he cursed that anybody who does attempt to rebuild it, when he starts the work, his oldest son will pass away, and by the time he finishes, he will lose his own youngest son. Sagma Tanya, the Braisa says, Loi Yericho, not the city of Yericho Tzayim, Al Shem Ir Acheres, that means even if we'll change the name of Yericho and give it a different name, this halacha will still remain. V'loi Ir Acheres Al Shem Yericho, nor if there will be another city that's called Yericho, the same halacha will apply. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, regarding this city, the Pasuk says, B'yana v'anachil space alias Yericho, Baviram Bukhari Yasada Ubskuf Tsiroi Hatsiv Dilosaha, that in the time of Achav, that's what the Pasuk is speaking about. This person, Chil Mibesa Eli, built Yericho, and he was punished that his oldest city, his oldest son, passed away when he started, and his youngest son passed away when he finished. Now, the Gemara is assuming that he didn't actually build the city of Yericho. What he built was a city that was near that had the name of Yericho. And the Mefarshim tried to understand why did Yeshua take this very serious step. One explanation that the Yalkut gives is that Yeshua captured the city of Yericho on Shabbos. And since it was done on Shabbos, so if it could be rebuilt, it would be considered a malacha on Shabbos. But if it can never be rebuilt, so the capturing of that city was a ma'isa kilkel, an act of destruction, which is not an act of chil Shabbos. Another reason is that Yeshua treated it like ir nedachas. Another pshat that the Yal could suggest is just like when we make a dough, we have to take off challah, that which is Kodesh. Here too, when he captured Yericho, what he did was that the first city that he took was the challah that was separated for Kodesh Lashem. The Rambam gives a different pshat. When we speak about the destruction of the city of Yericho, part of the destruction of the city of Yericho involved that its walls got swollen into the ground. That was an incredible nace. In order that everybody should always be able to see that nace, they made a rule that Yericho cannot be rebuilt, and therefore they'll always have a commemoration of that nace. Tanya, says the Gemara, Aviram Bukhari Rasha, says the Gemara, when Aviram died, he was a Rasha. Loi hoi loi limaid. So therefore, it wasn't something that taught him that he shouldn't be doing it. B'skuf tziroi hoi loi limaid. But when his youngest son died, then he should have learned that what he was doing was wrong. Says the Gemara, how do we understand this? Aviram v'svog my Ovid. What does the Gemara mean to say here? Says the Gemara, Avir b'chayay, hayo loy lima lois rosha. Says the Gemara, by Avirim, there's a girsa here, loy, that he shouldn't have, he didn't have to learn. Because before Avirim died, he didn't learn this lesson. But once his oldest son died, that he should have started thinking that maybe what I'm doing is going to affect all of my children. Says the Gemara, if Avirim was the oldest child, obviously Seguv is a younger brother. What does that mean? It wasn't just that he had two sons, Avirim and Seguv, but rather what the pasuk means to say is, all of his children, starting from Avirim down to the last one, were all killed, all died. Says the Gemara, Achav Shishbinahav. Achav was a friend of Chiel. Also, Aisav Elio, Lemisha Shami Beitamya. When his brother, when these people died, when his children died, they went to Menachem Ovelhim. And they said, Yosef Akamar, and Achav was sitting and said, Dima Kimel Yeshua Hachilat. Maybe when Yeshua cursed the people who will build Yericho, lo Yericho al Shem Echeres, what he meant was not Yericho, if you call it another name, lo Yericho al Shem Yericho. And that's why, even though he didn't build Yericho, but since this other city had the name of Yericho, that's why he was punished. Amle Elio, in. Absolutely. Amle, so Achav says to Elio, why or how do you say that Chiel's children died because of Yeshua's klala? Hashlof asata Moshe lo kamekaymai. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu made shvua in the Torah. The ksiv, the pasuk says, Hisham lechem penyiftel vachem v'satav v'varetem elhim acherim. And the pasuk says afterwards, V'chor Hashem b'chem b'otza asa shemayim v'lo yamater. Moshe Rabbeinu cursed that if Klai Yisrael will worship avodah zarah, there won't be rain. V'hu gavra. Achav said about himself, I placed Avodah Zarah in every row of fields in Eretz Yisrael. Leshavik Mitra, the Mezel Mizgalei, and the rain has never stopped. So therefore he asked, if Moshe Rabbeinu's curse didn't take place, will the curse of Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud, yes, come about? Miyad, v'yom Eliyahu HaTishbi. Elio gets very upset. And v'yom Eliyahu HaTishbi, v'toshv Egilet, chai Hashem Elkei Yisrael, imyu Hashanim El Talamotar, ki im lefoy dvarei. Elio made a shvu that the rain will stop. Boy Rachmei, and Elio davened, v'chavalei aklid de mitra, and they gave him the key which controls rain for Kamva Ozel, and Elio walks away, and he's not there. Of course, the Mefarshim ask, why indeed was the klola of Yeshua more powerful than the klola of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Ein Yaakov explains that Moshe Rabbeinu did not use a lashon shvua in the klola, whereas Yeshua used a lashon klola. Another pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu said, if the only if all of Klal Yisrael worships Avodah Zarah, will there be no rain? Achav indeed worshipped Avodah Zarah, but not everybody else worshipped Avodah Zarah. Whereas Yeshua said, even if one individual builds Yericho, the klola will happen. The pasuk continues. V'hi dvar Hashem elav lemar lech mizeh ufanisa kedma ufanisa lecha kedma nistarta benachal bris al shepnei yardein. V'arvim mevin lo lechem basu yain. He said that he should stay there, and the ravens brought to him lechem basu abayker v'lechem basu erev. They brought him food in the morning and the evening. Asked the Gemara, mehecha, from where did they bring him this food? Amar Yudam Rav, the Beit Tachvid Achva. They brought it from the home of Achav. So the Gemara Masechta Chulin says that Achav, we see, was a Rasha. So if Achav was a Rasha, how could Eliyahu Navi eat food from Achav's kitchen? So the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that this food is kosher food. And furthermore, how is he allowed to eat food that was taken from Achav's home? The way it was, it's not his food. So he says, as soon as the birds take it away, it became hefker. And therefore, it became hefker, and that's why he was allowed to use it. And the Gra and the Sefer Ein Elyo says, what is pshat in the story? So he says, the pshat in the story is to be understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically took the food from Achav's kitchen because that should serve as a schus for Achav, that Eliyahu HaNavi was eating from that food. And like that, as we're going to learn, the rain ultimately returned. Achav needed that schus. So says the Gemara, v'himiketz yomim, v'yivesh hanachal k'loy hayav gashim baretz, the river dried up because there was no rain. Kivin d'chazadik etzar ba'alma, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the world was in distress, k'siv yihidva Hashem elov lemor, klum leich tzrofso. He tells Eliyahu HaNavi, go to the city of Tzrof, v'tziv v'yachad v'armelela, chola ben isha ba'al sabayis. Eliyahu HaNavi went to the home of a woman in Tzrof, and her son got ill. By Rachman, Eliyahu HaNavi davened, that he should be given the key of Tchias HaMesim to resurrect the boy. Amalei, so they told him in Hashemayim, Shlosh Mavteches L'Nimsu L'Shlicha. There were three keys that were never given over to anyone else. Shalchaya, that means a Yoledes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu by himself controls when, how a child is born. Shal Gishamim Rein, which is Tchias HaMesim. And now that you have, as we learned, the key of rain, if you're also going to get the key of Tchias HaMesim, Yomru Shtayim B'Yad HaTalmud, it'll be a very difficult situation that two of the keys are in Eliyahu's hands, Eliyahu being the Talmud, and Achas B'Yad HaRav, and only one is in the hands of Hashem. So that is something that's not acceptable. I say hi. So they told him, we can make a deal. You give back the key of the rain, the Shokel Hai, and we'll give you the key of Tchias HaMesim. The Ksiv Leich Hera El Achav Ve'etna Motor. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ve'etna Motor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel says that I will now be able to give rain because till now it was in your hands, but now I'll get it. But now I'll get it back. So this Gemara has just taught us how one cannot build a city of Yericho, cannot even build another city with that city's name. The question, of course, is, can somebody build the city of Yericho b'zman hazeh? So the Shal Tzachus Me'adim v'zmanim says that the Isra of building Yericho is only if one wants to build the entire city. But if somebody's just building a section of Yericho, that's okay. Another pshat that I saw, we said earlier, why was there such an issue about building the city of Yericho? And we explained because we always want that the wall that got swallowed in should be visible. But nowadays, where the wall is anyway not visible, it's not a problem. Another pshat that I saw is once the city was rebuilt by the time of the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, the klola of Yeshua was only that it may not be rebuilt. But once it was rebuilt, even one time, that isser of continuing rebuilding doesn't remain. Says the Gemara, Darash Hahu Gilo Kameid of Chizda. Moshe d'Elio, the story that we learned now about Eliyahu HaNavi giving back the key, L'ma Adovah, Daim L'gavri, the Tarki L'gale, V'avdil Mevtechei. It's regarding somebody who locked the door and lost the key. Eliyahu HaNavi closed that there should be no rain. But then he lost control over that, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Masha asks, it's not really a great Mashal. And the Mashal, the person lost the key. Eliyahu didn't lose the key, he gave back the key. Says the Masha, that since originally he said that he will control the rain, and now he lost that control, it's considered as if he lost something that he had. Says the Gemara, Darshab Yosef B'Itzapara, Abba Elio Navi was my friend, Captain Who. He's a very sharp person. And the Maral explains, Elio Navi is a Kohen. And the Gemara says, regarding the Kohanim, Kapton Mahain. The Kohanim are people that are very particular when what they want doesn't happen. And the reason he explains is, because Kohanim have this level of Kedusha. And those that have a level of Kedusha, the Kedusha burns in them. And since the Kedusha burns in them, that causes them to take strong measures when they see people who are not doing what's right. Another pshat that I saw is that Eliyahu's job is to teach us what's doing right. And sometimes doing what's right requires strength. And that, according to that, we could understand, the Chafetz Chaim says, how could the Gemara say, Eliyahu Kapton Hava? Why isn't that considered Lashon Hara? But according to what we just explained, it's not really considered Lashon Hara. What Eliyahu HaNavi is representing, that in certain times, strength is required. Says the Gemara, Havragla Meisna L'Gabei. Eliyahu HaNavi, you would normally visit him every day, would normally visit Rabbi Yossi every day. After he said this, for 3 days, he did not show him up. And now when he does come back, says the Gemara, he asks Eliyahu HaNavi, why didn't you come back? Why didn't you come visit me? Amalei, to which Eliyahu says, Captain Carisali, you call me a name Captain, and now you want me to visit? Says the Gemara, Amalei, Hadakaman Kapad Mar. We see that you have this characteristic because you got so offended right away when you didn't visit me. Why, asked the Taras Chaim, did he have to bring a proof from this story? We see his behavior, Eliyahu HaNavi's behavior, in the time of Achav. So he says that if a Rebbe gets angry at a Talmud, that's not called Kapton. A Rebbe getting angry at a Talmud is way it's supposed. A Rebbe getting angry at a Talmud is not the way it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be nice to his Talmud, and that's why it's more of a raya that he was a captain than what he did with Achav. The pasuk says, we learned in the Mishnah, for lo yibed b'yotcha mu'umah menacherim. Says the Gemara, calls man shereshoim ba'olam. As long as there are rishoim in the olam, charoin af ba'olam, there's anger of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Man rishoim asked the Gemara, who are these rishoim that bring this anger? Who are these rishoim that bring the anger to the world? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosi Ganvi, people that are ganovim. People who are ganovim bring anger to the world. And I saw many pshatim. We know that there are two types of people who steal. The ganovim and gazlonim. And the difference between a ganov and a gazlon is a ganov is someone who steals surreptitiously. And gazlon does it in public. A person who's a ganov is acting and showing as if he believes that there is no tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now watching what's going on in the world. A person who demonstrates that he doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching the world, that is what gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu particularly upset. Another pshat that I saw is that how, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, are we able to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By giving tzedakah, by particularly giving matan seser. But if the ganovim in the world, then we can't give tzedakah because the money that they have is not their money. And if it's not their money, they can't be giving tzedakah. If they can't be giving tzedakah without tzedakah, then there is no way for us to have a Yeshua. Tana Rabbanan, Rosh Bal Olam, when there's a Rosh that comes to the world, Charayim Bal Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset. Shneva Bar Rosh, Bar Gambuz, V'am Kolon Cherpa. Rosh Ovid Ma'olam, But when the Rosh Baruch Hashem is eliminated, Tovah Ba'alayim. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, Uvavoid Rishoyim Rina. Tzadik Niftim Ba'alayim. If a Tzadik dies, Ra Ba'alayim. It's terrible. Shneimar, at Tzadik Ovid, Vein Ish Som Alev. Vachi Chesed Nesofim, Vein Mevim, Kimnei Ara Nesof at Tzadik. And as I saw, the Sefer Margolius Hayam explains that the Gemara teaches us that in Masechta Yumadaf, Lamed Chesam Abeis, Ain't Tzadik Niftim in Oilam, Acha Niver Tzadik Kamoisai. One Tzadik doesn't leave the world until another Tzadik is born. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Koheles, Vazor HaShemesh, Ubo HaShemesh. The sun goes down and another sun goes up. But he explains that a Tzadik leaves the world, another Tzadik will be born. But the new Tzaddik that's born is not going to be in the same place as the old Tzaddik. So the world will have a Tzaddik, but the world won't have the place where the original Tzaddik lived, will lose that Tzaddik, and that won't necessarily be replaced. That's why Ra'al Olam. Tzaddik Ba'al Olam, but when a new Tzaddik is born, the Tovah Ba'al Olam, Tzaddik can bring Tovah to the world. Shnema, as the Pasuk says, when Noach was born, Ze Yenachmenu B'mas Yedenu or Mitzvi Yedenu. After the death of Adam HaRishon, the world was missing. But when Noach was born, that lack that the world had was replaced by Noach living a life of Tzidkus. And when he lives a life of Tzidkus, you bring Yeshua to the world. And what does that mean? That Kadosh Baruch Hu, his wants to bring Tovah to the world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wants to bring good to the world, has to have people to be the recipients of that good. And as long as there was no Tzaddik in the world, as long as there was no Noach in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have to whom to bring that good fortune. Once Noach was born, and he was a worthy recipient of that bracha, that's why Tova Bala Olam, all of us in the schus of the tzaddik have Tova. Hanun loch ka Yisrael, yesh lahem, v'slik loch masech the Sanhedrin, v'shitaka b'zoicha, that in this parak we spoke so much about Chiyas HaMesim and Olam Haba, we should be zoicha b'mher b'yameinu to the world of Chiyas HaMesim and Olam Haba.